Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, and I really want to encourage you, if you're not familiar with his writings, I really want to encourage you to begin to be so. It's a marvelous treatise that he wrote on the love of God that is one of his great masterpieces. He was a bishop and a man who so loved God. That's probably the best way to summarize him. Such a lover of God that he was able to bring people into a much deeper knowledge and understanding of God's love for them. He was a marvelous teacher and a marvelous pastor. And if you're not familiar with him, you want to become familiar with him as much as you can. He was born in the French border region in 1567. He offered his life, going through a spiritual crisis, he offered his life entirely to God's merciful love with no care for reward. Doesn't that strike you? With no care for reward. He just wanted to see God honored and glorified. And as a result, he became a light in the darkness, just like we were speaking about yesterday. His thoughts were not on him. His thought was on seeing Christ honored and glorified, and he offered his life for that. And as a result, he became a marvelous, marvelous spiritual director and teacher and pastor. When you get your sights set in the right way, God blesses it abundantly. So let's take a look at the readings today. The first from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of them, it can never make perfect those who come to worship by the same sacrifices that they offer continually each year. Otherwise, would not the sacrifices have ceased to be offered since the worshippers, since cleansed, would no longer have had any consciousness of sin? If you've offered God worship, really offered God worship, then you're not concerned about who gets the credit. You simply worship God to honor him, not to advance self. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of them, it can never make perfect those who come to worship by the same sacrifice that they offer continually each year. Otherwise, would not the sacrifices have ceased to be offered since the worshippers, once cleansed, would no longer have had any consciousness of sin? But in those sacrifices, there is only a yearly remembrance of sin, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sin. For this reason, when he came into the world, he said, meaning Christ, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight. And then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." First, he says, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. And then he says, behold, I come to do your will. You see, brothers and sisters, before Christ, they made many offerings of animals before God to atone for their sin. But when Christ came, and he offered himself once and for all. So our life is not trying to make up for our sins by offering all kinds of sacrifices to God. Oh God, oh God, oh God, please. But it's to receive what God has done for us. To accept in humility that he broke the chains of sin and death for me forever, and then to spend my life in gratitude for that, rather than trying to earn salvation. I can never earn salvation. But if I am fully given to Christ, then I want my life to reflect him and to bring good to as many people as I possibly can. But I have the opportunity to go to heaven, not because of my good deeds, but because of what Christ did for me upon the cross. My good deeds are an expression of gratitude. See, you can't save yourself. So you've got to see the absolute central pivotal place that God plays in Christ on behalf of you. And then be grateful for that. And live out of that gratitude. That's why the scriptures quote today from Psalm 40, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." That's what Christ did. And that's what we're asked to do, is to imitate Christ, who has gone before us, who has given us the grace to live for him, and that we will live eternally with him if we follow him. "I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me. He put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Sacrifice and oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me." You see, not offering sacrifices of bulls and other animals, but offering yourself, offering your will to God, that he may use you for the glory of the Father and for the salvation of many. And you're going to rejoice in that for all eternity. "Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. I come to do your will." Let that be your prayer every day. Really, let it be your prayer every day. "Lord, I come to do your will, not mine." And that involves, in my experience, that involves a daily dying. Because I might say I want God's will, and I believe I want God's will, and I do at a certain level want God's will, but I still see the fight in me when it's very clear what God wants, and it isn't what I want. I want this and this and this. And so I try to bargain with God, which of course doesn't work, doesn't bear fruit. So I pray for trust, greater and greater and greater trust in God, so that I can say, as Jesus said, "Your will be done." That's how we want to pray. We pray the Lord's Prayer every day and we say it. Question is, do we mean it? It's not just the words that come out, but is our heart engaged? Is our mind and our spirit engaged? "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You're praying that. Are you a hypocrite? Say one thing and mean another? Or are you really offering yourself to do God's will? That's what promises eternal life, and that's what gives us his peace and a much deeper intimacy with him even in this life. Think about it. And even if you say, "Oh, yeah, I made that promise, but I can't live it." No, of course you can't, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So you ask the Holy Spirit daily, "Give me the strength to choose your will over mine." You'll be amazed. Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, this is when all these people had come to listen to Jesus, and Jesus' mother came and his relatives, and they arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother, your brothers, your sisters are outside asking for you." Now, this can sound harsh, but listen to it. But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus is not rejecting his dear, dear mother who's out there asking for him and his relatives. He's not. But he's taking the time to make a particular point. And the point is that those who seek to do the Father's will, as I do, becomes part of an intimate set of relationships, like family. Family's first. I can enter into that. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now think about that. That's what the Lord is saying to you. I often wonder, Mary would have understood that at the time, but would some of the others accompanying her, would they have understood, or would they have gotten a bit bent out of shape? Would they have had to go to Jesus and say, "What do you mean? I'm your relative." Any relative was a brother or a sister. "I'm your relative. What do you mean that I'm not first?" And Jesus is clearly saying, you put the Father first, and you put the will of God, the Father, first in your life. And then we become a true family because we're rooted in the right things. We're rooted together to help one another to come safely home to God. This is the key right here. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Francis de Sales, whose feast, as I said, we celebrate today, said this: "In short, for God's glory, yield to his will completely, and never suppose that you could be serving him better in any other way. Yield to his will completely, and never suppose that you could be serving him better in any other way. The best way to serve him is to fall in with his will for us. He wants you to serve him without joy, without feeling, with repugnance and revulsion of spirit. Such service gives you no satisfaction, but it pleases him. It is not according to your liking, but according to his." Sometimes there's a need, brothers and sisters. It's not a need we want to fill. "Oh, I couldn't do that." But is God asking me to meet a need that is repugnant to me? If I say, "Lord, I want to do your will, and if this is your will for me, I'm going to do it, and you will find joy, even if the task itself is repugnant." St. Francis de Sales makes many, many points on this area of learning how to love the will of God. Learn to know about him. Check him out online, St. Francis de Sales. Look at the books. Start with the first one he wrote. And I think you will come to see how infinitely loving God's will is for you, even if the path to it is difficult. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.